everyone. My name is Megan, and I'm one of the Multimedia Committee co-chairs and your host for today's episode. I'm super excited to be doing this episode with the one and only Dr. Morgan Cowan. And also, our today's episode will be a bit different from our previous ones. We'll be talking about mental health. Dr. Cowan is a PGY3 and administrative chief for UT Health PM&R. He grew up in Florida, where he attended Florida State University for undergrad, and then continued to medical school at LMU DCOM in Harrogate, Tennessee. Dr. Cowan is currently applying to interventional pain fellowship, and in the future hopes to be a leader in neuromodulation and minimally invasive spinal surgery. Dr. Cowan, thank you so much for being here and willing to talk to us about mental health. Can you share a bit about your journey and experiences with mental health during your fourth year of medical school?
Sure. So kind of as a little bit of background there, looking back, there were definitely some, you know, underlying mental health issues going on, really anxiety being the biggest thing. But when I got to fourth year and really the pressures of audition season and applications, you know, choosing what are we going to do for the rest of our life, you know, after we've spent 3 years working as hard as we can to get the scores we need, to have the CV we need, a multitude of things kind of led into that being a particularly tough period. Right. So going through medical school, my goal was orthopedic surgery. So I went into my fourth year with 6 months of ortho auditions lined up. You know, I had the scores, I had the grades, I had the CV to do what I wanted to do, and went off on a couple of aways. And while I was there, kind of noticed that I wasn't loving it the way I thought I would. So there, like a little bit of panic starts, you know, this is all I had ever planned for. You know, to make it worse, I went to the first away and got COVID, a pretty bad case, like lost 35 pounds in 2 weeks, couldn't eat, like luckily not hospitalized. And I mean, I back to back was lined up with these auditions. So kind of was home for a couple of weeks recovering, and was literally spinning myself right back out the door to go to another away, and had a relationship end. So doesn't help. In that instance, you know, especially because of the rigors of med school and kind of everything that comes along with it, I basically built myself around two things, and it was that person and academics. And unfortunately, academics doesn't give back a whole lot. So I kind of already had those doubts in my mind going to that next audition, and halfway through just realized like, this is not it. You know, I was not enjoying being there from a ortho perspective and a job perspective more so than anything. And of course, this is like early September of my fourth year. So like prime application time, I had nothing else prepped. So I got lucky that my school really backed me up and got me out of there so that I could try to figure out what I was going to do. Because I honest to God had not considered anything. Unfortunately, kind of with that process, like I just spiraled, you know, the loss of a relationship, kind of losing, honest to God, losing my identity and not knowing what I wanted to do, just put me into a pretty rough spot for a few months. You know, and it was, I guess I kind of see this with other people too, when things get really bad is, you know, it's like you can't win, you know, one thing after another. So I like was, got back home and kind of like, okay, we're going to figure this out. Decided I was going to do PM&R. You know, didn't really know much about it at the time other than like, hey, this seems the most fair for what I want to do career wise. And so I go, I start working out again and I get rhabdo. So I end up, I end up like in the ICU overnight. I get rhabdo. I end up with like a foot drop from a radiculitis. And it just, again, just this kind of this cycle over, you know, day after day after day of trying to help myself, something goes wrong, trying to help myself, something goes wrong. So I just got to, I mean, a really, really bad spot, a place that I definitely don't ever want to get to again, overall. You know, During that time, I leaned a lot on therapists that I had known through med school. And that was realistically probably one of the biggest factors of me getting through it. You know, that and just kind of, I tried to just keep myself occupied with family, but, you know, being in Tennessee and there in Florida, not the easiest thing to do. Yeah, that's kind of how that journey went. And it really just, I won't say that there's a moment that it all of a sudden got better. It just kind of with time, I learned a little bit more about myself and things got easier.
Right. Well, first, I want to thank you for your vulnerability and your openness. You just sharing that and, you know, me putting myself in your shoes, my heart goes to you. That doesn't sound easy whatsoever. And I think one of the first things that you highlighted was how big this academic identity was for you. And I think a lot of us in medicine, we're type A people. We are those type of people that we have that positive reinforcement of, okay, I'm studying hard, I get good grades, and just continue forward. Right. And it can be so hard and almost devastating to have that taken from you, or there is just some sort of a shift. And especially from this like idealistic picture of, I'm going into orthopedics, seeing that future almost be, you know, very much so not taken from you, but just it looks different now. So that can be very unsettling, especially when you're at a high stress environment, and especially fourth year when you're just living a nomad life and going, you know, from different place to place. But I admire how you were able to use your resources, because that's when, you know, for some people, they look into resources either when it's a little too late or they're scared to say that, hey, I am
involved earlier is probably the biggest reason that I was able to come out of that entire period, like as unscathed as I was.
No, for sure. I've definitely heard that and even experienced it myself. I'm a huge advocate for mental health. And I think it doesn't necessarily need for things to be very bad for you to have to go see a therapist. Right. I think beside, you know, helping with anxiety and depression, you can gain a lot of self-knowledge about yourself, who you are as a person by talking to a therapist. I actually met with a therapist to learn to study better, because the first 2 years was a big struggle. And I was like, okay, I'm trying different things, but I feel like it's not working. And by learning more about myself that, okay, I have to have more visual reminders, or I need to, you know, I might do a little bit better with group setting because of X, Y, and Z. And I gained that by meeting with a therapist. So I appreciate you saying that. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about is doubt and self-doubt. How did that show up for you, if it did at all? And I can definitely only imagine, right? Yeah. You did say you had good grades. You worked very hard. You were on the path for one of the very...
But then even when I got to DCOM, you know, I remember telling my family, like, I don't know that I can do this. All of them just kind of telling me, hey, give it a little bit of time, see how things go. Like, I was up there for an anatomy boot camp before classes even started. And they said, hey, see how this goes. Like, you have nothing to lose. But really, all through first year and even the bulk of second year, doubt was something that never really left. You know, when I moved up to Tennessee, I had all of my clothes in a few like giant black heavy duty trash bags.
Oh man.
And I literally purposely put them in the corner of my room just in case I just needed to go ahead, pack up and leave. And trash bags stayed there literally for that exact same reason for the end of my first year. You know, I don't know why I doubted it quite so much. You know, med school is kind of always ever changing and you have to study a different way. Each subject's a little different, but like I look back and, you know, what I was able to accomplish for better or worse, like my average course grade as a first year was a 97.6. I still left trash bags in the corner of my room.
Wow.
In case I'm not able to make it through this, right? And then I came into second year and was telling my friends, like, I don't know that, you know, it was a fluke. Maybe this is not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to do well second year. All of them are looking at me like, you're insane. But it was the same thing kind of all the way through. And then even into like STEP and COMLEX studying, you know, part of it is the makeup of med school and kind of the high stress, high stakes of it. But then also, again, just underlying, you know, anxiety and just doubt on my end, just from prior, you know, unaddressed things where, you know, it didn't matter what I did. You know, I was never satisfied with the result that I got. You know, I was the kid who got a 96 and I was like, I was mad. Wow. I missed those two questions or whatever it was. Or, you know, I got my class rank as a second year and saw that I was second and was livid, literally slammed my computer shut.
Wow.
Like, that's not good enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And still, even seeing those and seeing like the numbers I put up and everything, like the doubt was always there.
Right. That is so interesting. As you were talking, I also did hear a bit of imposter syndrome in there, that, oh, what if this was a fluke, right? Which is so interesting, because I think one of the biggest thing with imposter syndrome is it comes with those perfectionist type people. And once again, in medicine, I feel like a lot of us are perfectionists. And let's say in a field like surgery, you would want your surgeon to be a perfectionist, hopefully, so nothing goes wrong, although not guaranteed. But we put this external pressure on ourselves that everything has to be perfect. And I find that so interesting, even though, you know, you had very high grades, that's still not good enough.
Right.
And
which
can definitely lead to more self-doubts. And if you've had other things that you haven't worked past, right? And a lot of times, like, it might be distracting yourself with studies or those underlying things that are going on in your subconscious. And if they've never been approached or never been, you've never truly sat down with your emotions and see, why am I feeling this way? It's so hard to not necessarily resolve, but get along with it. Because a lot of people think, and I don't want to use I know trauma sounds very heavy, but those little, those things that we've experienced throughout our life, they're all in our subconscious. And if we don't approach it, if we don't want to see what's going on there, it will be, I think it'll just always be there and turn into a narrative, imposter syndrome or self-doubt.
Sure. Right. Yeah. And even more so in med school when, I mean, life doesn't stop and med school never slows down, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I went in trying to deal with some stuff and then it very quickly turned into like, I don't have time to deal with that. And I just buried myself in Anki cards and lectures, you know, and great academically, it's awesome. Personal life, that did not go well, you know, so.
And that's another thing. I think a lot of times, at least for me, you know, comparison, we all know, is the thief of joy, but it's so easy. It's so easy to compare yourself with your classmates and be like, man, this guy or this person has everything going on for them. They're top of the class, like living the dream. And here I am, and which can also exacerbate those thoughts of self-doubt and imposter syndrome.
Right.
But, and almost the, I don't know if you've heard, the grass is greener on the other side. And I think this is a prime example that a lot of times it might not be. We all have our own struggles and things that we're going through. So it sounds like being a therapist helped out. It sounds like you did the hard work yourself and you were able to make it the other end more successfully. So how do you think this, going through these challenges helped you with your approach to residency? Do you think you going through that helped you to be a different resident? And do you recognize those, I guess, red alarms in yourself differently now that you're like, okay, I have to, you know, go get help sooner than later?
Yeah, 100%. I'd say that's the most positive thing to come out of medical school from a personal standpoint, is being able to recognize, like, once I've hit the point of like, okay, this is no longer within normal, right? Well, at least normal for me. So as far as like residency goes, you know, my intern year was certainly not a cakewalk. especially being new to PM&R, you know, there, I can't sit here and say that I wasn't doubting the decision I made, because for years, like, I'd only had a one track mind, and didn't know that I could get to the life that I wanted through this path. You know, this was kind of like, this is the best option I have right now. So then as an intern, you know, where we're even worse, you know, in a, you know, doing internal medicine, which certainly not what I was geared or like wanting to do, you know, and moving to a new city, with no one just pointed me a direction. Why do you feel like that? So luckily, like, things got better, time, you know, as I dove more into PM&R and learned about interventional pain and like, oh, wow, this is really kind of the way that I want my career to go. You know, things got better overall. You know, there's still the struggle day to day of like, yeah, this isn't quite the place for me. But I've learned a ton about myself and what I enjoy just from being forced into a situation like that. But like, I look at myself comparatively now as a resident versus like how I was as a med student. And I don't want to say that I care less, but like, I have now become the focus. Like, my life outside of medicine has certainly become more of my focus. You know, while I'm at work, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do the best I can for my patients. I'm not going to go and slack and kind of take the easy route on anything. But once I'm home, I'm home. Whereas in med school, that was never the case. It's like, there was not a minute off.
Wow.
You know, I see people who, this is their life, and that's awesome. If this is what gives them fulfillment, but I tried that in med school and found out quickly, like, hey, that wasn't quite it. You know, there's other things I've found that have become more important, as a whole. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to take the easy route on another front per se. I just am. Yeah, I'm not going to be the one who I'm staying.
And prioritizing self-care, which once again can be easily forgotten in medicine, because beside the fact that I feel like we're in times where grind culture very easily can be encouraged and even celebrated. And I'll be honest, like, for instance, I'm a rising fourth year, and for VSLO advice, the things you hear, it's like, always say yes, always do the best you can. And while there's a place and time for that, I think some people, you know, really internalize this, that, okay, career, I always have to be the one who show up, and you want to help. And once again, in medicine, we're here to help people out, but sometimes we forget that we need to do the things that fill our own cup. And it's so hard to pour from an empty cup. And doing the things as small as it might be, that might be, I don't know, going, watching a movie with your friends or buying yourself your favorite meal. Those could be little things that helps you those work stressors and life stressors, and you know, you can show up as a better physician for your patients even.
And I definitely think that's the way I've looked at it is, you know, if I was in the mental state that I was fourth year now, there's no way I would not be able to take care of another person, you know. And you know, even with kind of taking a more of self-prioritizing route, like, I took a position chief specifically because I want this program to be even better, and you know, I want to help my co-residents. So it's, again, it's not taxing me to the point of like, okay, I can't do this anymore, but like, I'm honored to have that opportunity. And it is still same thing, still adding to life overall. And if it becomes too much, delegate, like, hey, nope, that's too much for me right now. And you're right, like, especially as medical students, and I see it a ton as residents, depending on what your aspirations are, to where the answer always has to be yes, right? We always have to be 100% go, 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 you know? And yeah, there's absolutely times for that where you want to show your best self. But I feel bad when people, that's the rest of their life, right? You know, and unfortunately, like, being in a huge academic center, like, I see it, and that's not necessarily the person I look up to, you know? You know, the person who is able to prioritize themselves still gets it all done. That to me is exactly what I aspire for, and more impressive.
I echo that sentiment. And I think I've thought about it, like even myself as a patient, you don't want to, like when you go to a doctor's office, for instance, you don't want to be talking to a robot. I feel like a lot of times where I've even personally had the most fulfilling, like doctor visits has been time and talk to my doctor about different things other than medicine. It's like, oh, have you heard about X, Y, and Z? And that's just how I think about it, that you can just show up much better for your patients, and having those boundaries for yourself can help with a more prosperous life, right? Rather than you burning out much quicker in your career. That's another way to continue doing X, Y, and Z. Do I want to be in an outpatient setting, inpatient setting?
And I look back at me from that exact same kind of a perspective of, you know, where when I came into medical school, the thought was like, just get into orthopedics, then you'll be happy, right? And no. And it would have been the same if it was PM&R. Like, yeah, I might have been short term, like excited, but you know, it's really the things outside of work that kind of create that fulfillment. Not that you can't find some of it from work, at least in my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Enjoying the process. I love that you said that. That is so important. A lot of us are so goal oriented and we forget that, you know, it's a marathon. We hear these quotes, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but actually, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Like exams will always be there, but, and it's so hard. It is so hard. And I had to do this with myself after scoring very low on a UWorld block yesterday and just being like, man, this sucks. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And just reminding myself like, hey, I learned so much. I learned about cardiovascular health that I had, you know, didn't know about maybe an hour ago. So, having that type of mindset can definitely be very, very beneficial. So now, as a PGY3, what are like some of your non-negotiables or some strategies that you take care of your mental health or just have fun?
Yeah. So, it's a little bit flexible. I know that I took on extra responsibility, but like I said earlier, when I leave work, that like I left work is really the way that I look at it. You know, I'm around if like other residents need help. And there's something that like in particular I can help with. But again, once I'm off, I'm off and like I'm doing my thing. So that's, it maybe sounds worse than I mean it. My phone goes off all the time with other residents. And, you know, like just on Friday, there was like two kind of out of nowhere admits that showed up, and literally the only person around was me, and I was actively walking to my car to leave and go home for the weekend. And like, not that I had to go cover them, but I was like, okay, like this is up to me to go do, kind of take the load off of some other people's plates, because things are pretty crazy at the rehab hospital. But overall, you know, I've had to kind of look at stuff and kind of say no, you know, oh, hey, there's a journal club this week. There's one next week. You have an interview, you know, two interviews next week. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to that journal club. Like, nope, I'm going to be at home. You know, and kind of learning to pick and choose the things you're going to do. You know, again, it's tricky, you know, especially early on when you're trying to get the experience and trying to make an impression. But now I've gotten to the point of being like, I know, like, it is better for me to not show up and give myself a break than be there and, well, half be there, I guess is the way to put it, and just kind of burn myself.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that's just another prime example of knowing your own boundaries. And we're in this for the long game, right? You don't want to burn out, even though I feel like we might experience it every now and then, but we're doing this as a career, as a lifelong type thing. I think most of us at least are. So knowing yourself well enough to know what are your boundaries, how much you can show up, and in what extent can you show up as well for your colleagues, for your peers, that's definitely very important as well.
Right.
So I feel like you've talked and touched on a lot of golden advice about, you know, important things you can do to take care of your mental health and how you can show up for yourself and basically how to just be a sustainable human in medicine. So I guess, what would you say would be your top advice to medical students who might be experiencing some of that self-doubt, imposter syndrome, some of those mental health challenges, and who are going through what you've experienced before?
Right. I mean, my best piece of advice is to, like, that the feeling's valid. You know, when people look at med school and we kind of develop this imposter syndrome or the doubt because it's so hard, like, yeah, medicine's really hard. Medical school was really hard. You know, and even those who are doing well, you know, because some of the responses I got from people, you know, was, why are you stressed? Like, you're at the top of the class. And I was like, maybe it's my expectation or whatever, like that stress was still there. So just for people, like, some people, seeing a therapist is like the last thing they want to hear, right? It's definitely better in our generation than in the past. And I can see how someone may have gone once and they're like, yeah, that's not for me. Like, yeah, my first probably 2, 3, 4 sessions, like, I wouldn't say that I got necessarily anything out of it. You know, but like, keep trying, you know, find someone different to just talk to, whether it's a friend, it doesn't have to be a counselor, but it's nice to have someone who's completely impartial. But then also keep learning about yourself and like identifying the triggers of when you are becoming too stressed. You're hitting that point of like things are about to break, you know, and find ways that you can kind of calm your mind down on a day-to-day basis. You know, for me, sometimes I would literally just like go lay down and throw on like rain sounds and like literally just sit there and try to only listen for that, right? Just again, tone down the sympathetics, right? This fight or flight response that we're all literally geared for. You know, whether it's that, go outside. You know, luckily I had roommates that were really good about, you know, I probably annoyed them too much of like, hey, I need a study break, like let's go do something. Even if it's 20 minutes, we don't have to be pedal to the metal 24/7 to be successful in medical school. And I really think it is the people who find the balance are really the ones who are more successful overall.
I agree. Amen to that. Amen. Thank you so much. That I think hopefully our listeners took as much as I learned from this episode talking to you. And hopefully this gives you that it's okay, you know, if you're going through rough times, if you're experiencing some of these challenges, you're not alone. And hopefully this inspires you to get the help that you need. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. And if you have just a few seconds, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and let us know what you'd like to learn more about in the future.